It's okay if you missed your favorite show. Podcasts are ready. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here.
This is Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back in ESPN 1000, and you just heard about it, the ESPN Chicago app. Easy to use. Check out all the shows. Listen to us live right there. Download it for free. And if Mark Zander and I can operate this thing, then your five-year-old could do it too. If
there
he's not
is just
eating.
So much. Yeah. There is
if the
so
five-year-old's not eating
there.
Peeps, have him download the ESPN Chicago app for it right now.
Yeah. There's just so much content there, Brian. There's just so much to enjoy. Yeah. And new stuff is being added every day under the existing tiles. And if you ever want to listen back to what Brian and I are talking about, you can hit additional podcasts.
You know, and Sully, Paul Sullivan, the great columnist from the Chicago Tribune, who was our guest as he headed past the Mars Cheese Castle to Milwaukee.
And Bong State Park.
Yeah, I love that. The Bong Rec Center, the sign to exit for Bong Rec Center. I went to Marquette. I passed that sign 1,000 times. I just figured I was going to see, as you pull in, a bunch of people, you know, doing exactly that. But I don't know what it is, if it's a guy's name or whatever. But I pictured a bunch of stoners, you know, with bongs. Yeah.
Sure. So, did.
Yeah. It's not a real interesting drive to Milwaukee, but I made it 1,000 times. Milwaukee, good city, though. But we don't have to like their sports teams, as you said.
Nope.
But Sully alluded to the fact that, you know, yesterday, everyone loved Memphis, the Grizzlies. Oh, Grizzlies are going to win that thing going away. Ja Morant, you know, should be MVP. Well, Minnesota, and they thought Minnesota was going to be taxed and kind of, you know, just struggling to get in there after the play-in tournament. Well, the T-Wolves went ahead and gave them a beating from the start, 130 to 117. And, you know, Memphis wasn't exactly an minus 1,100 favorite. They were a minus 320 favorite to win the series, and they likely still will. But for a day, the T-Wolves have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. The Chicago Bulls faced long odds. And Steve Kornacki, the man with the big board at NBC, you see him every election telling you which districts have to weigh in and, you know, the key swing districts and everything else. Well, our buddy Jason Goff over at NBC Sports Chicago had a little conversation with Steve Kornacki, Mr. Numbers. And this was all part of the NBC Sports Chicago Bulls playoff preview. And didn't really paint a positive picture for the Chicago Bulls' chances. Let's take a listen.
NBC News' Steve Kornacki is here to break it down for us again. Steve, the defending champion Bucks are heavy favorites. What does the data say about the Bulls' chances to win this series?
Yeah, the defending champs, as you say, the heavy favorites. We take a look at the bracket there. It is the 3-6 matchup. Historically, 3-6 since the NBA went to best of 7 in the first round almost 20 years ago. The 6 seed is 8-30 in this matchup. That's about a 21% win rate. And when you factor in, again, the fact that the Bucks swept the Bulls this year, our computer model thinks the chances of the Bulls winning this series come down to about 17.5%. So that's about a 1-6 shot that the Bulls win this series. And that's what the computer says. Another interesting way of looking at this is, what does the public think? The public that's betting on this series, betting on the NBA playoffs with their own money. This is another interesting way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. These are the odds to win the NBA title. And look at this. Behind the Suns, the Bucks right now are the second choice to repeat as NBA champions. 9-2 shot on the Bucks to win the whole thing. You got to go pretty far down the list, basically to the bottom, to find the Bulls sitting there at 100-1. So if you're a Bulls fan and you're a true believer and you want to put a couple bucks on them, could be very rich if they truly, truly shock the world and not just beat the Bucks, but win the whole thing.
Yeah, shout out to all the true believers out there who put a couple of dollars down on the Bulls. Steve, if the Bulls can win game one, how does that impact their overall odds to get out of the first round?
So it makes it interesting, certainly, right? We're showing you a 17% chance, according to our model right now, that the Bulls win the series. If they can steal the home court advantage, that's what a win in Milwaukee would do. The number would basically double. Win game one, and suddenly you're still an underdog, but now you're looking at about a 35% chance of winning the series. You got a chance. If you could take advantage of that home court advantage ever, you could win the series, theoretically. Now, if the Bulls lose game one as expected, obviously the challenge – be becomes that much tougher. Then you got to win like 4 out of 6 against the defending champions. The odds of winning the series fall to 11% for the Bulls if they lose game one. So it's always the team that's the underdog. Boy, if you can ever steal game one on the road, it really can upend things. You're looking at a difference between 11% potentially and 35% based on that game one.
Now, that's a big difference there, Mr. Zander. But if I told you there was a 35% chance of rain today, would you bring an umbrella?
No. So even though it's impressive that you're more than double the odds, it still isn't impressive overall.
Yeah, you tripled the odds in my math.
Or you tripled, yeah.
And to win the series as of yesterday, the Bucks were a minus 1,100. And if you put a couple bucks on the Bulls, you were getting plus 700. Even at 100-1 odds to win the entire thing, he said you could get very rich. I don't know how much money you would have to put on. If you're putting $2 on that, that's $200. I'd buy you lunch for the week and a couple of beers, but I don't know that you're going to get rich. And
that's about all you're probably willing to put down.
Absolutely. As a Bulls fan, I think I can go without whatever $2 buys these days. You can't get on the blue line for $2 anymore. But yeah, if you want to just have a little interest, a little fun, go to your FanDuel app and open it up and put $2 on and see if you get 700, 800. I did notice today, the line yesterday for the Bulls, they were going to get 9.5 points. It's, of course, up to 10.5. And by tip-off tonight, it might be up another point or two. So if they're going to win a game, if they're going to cover, I think it has to be today, right? I'm not saying they're going to win a game, but the Bucks have had a week off. The Bucks mailed in, didn't even play their stars the final game at Cleveland, pretty much to ensure that they were going to play the Bulls in the opening round. Instead of jumping up a seed, they decided they'll take the 3 seed and face the Bulls, right? Because why not? They beat the Bulls all 4 times in the regular season by an average of 14 points. So they got who they wanted. It hasn't been close. So the Bucks, spent the week talking. In the Sun-Times and the Tribune, Sully did his column, and their beat writers gave you the 3 or 4 keys, what the Bulls need to do to even contend, let alone win a series. You know what they've been doing up in Milwaukee? They don't give you keys to the series because they basically feel like if the Bucks show up, they'll win, just like everybody else. They've been writing, get to know Wesley Matthews ahead of the NBA playoffs. Here's another story. Get to know guard Javon Carter before the NBA playoffs. It's just been puff pieces. It's been filler. Right.
Is that motivation enough?
Well, I mean, it's like, hey, what have you been doing for the week? Well, we're kind of bored up here. But when they finally got to some questions about what they do have to do against the Bulls, Mike Budenholzer, the coach, did say that the guys like Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, they can be a handful. And how are the Bucks going to handle that?
Yeah, I mean, we have so much respect for him, and him being in the East and the playoffs, from a couple years ago. There's a lot of I guess starts with respect, but attention to him. And that's part of what makes their team good. And DeRozan and LaVine and him in a two-man game, the pick-and-roll game, it's tough to guard. And so, our guards have got to be good. The less they get screened, the better we are. And, we have to probably mix up our looks on Vucevic. And to some degree, when you're mixing up your looks on him, then it's probably means you're mixing up your looks on DeRozan and LaVine. So, but there's an awareness and a respect for him from lots and lots of games against him.
So he talked about the Bulls three, the big three there, and through him was being Vucevic. And there's no doubt David, our first caller, who weighed in at 312-332-3776, said, what will the Bulls need to do to even make this competitive? Well, the first, your stars have to be your stars. So those guys, Vooch can't be the guy missing threes and not sure what he's doing defensively. So they all have to bring their A game, and then it's going to take a handful of other guys to bring their A game as well. To even when you heard Mike Budenholzer talking about this, he didn't look stressed as I was watching it. He didn't look like he was been up all week. Now, I'm sure he and his staff have put in the time and the preparation and got their guys ready, but they fully expect to take care of business, just like the entire NBA world expects them to take care of business against the Bulls. So that's how important it is for the Bulls to go out there and in the first quarter, just let them know. I mean, you know, don't play from a deficit tonight. You got to come and bring it the first 12 minutes to even get a puncher's chance to get that game to get to 35% chance of making it a series by winning the first game. So they don't seem overly stressed up there. They've been just biding their time and resting. And I think Wesley Matthews said they were kind of bored up there. You know, it's been a lot. And this was Friday. He said it seems like 2 days is going to be a long time to wait this thing out, because Budenholzer said as good as the play-in tournament has been for the league and how much interest it has generated and how different teams are certainly their fan bases are involved because their teams are involved. He said it's tough for a team, a defending championship team, to sit there and watch that, as entertaining as it is, but knowing that they had a full week of trying not to overextend in practice and waiting for their opportunity.
Right, and there's that thing, rest, you know, versus rust.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to play in, and certainly they don't look stressed up there. But you can't underestimate anybody, you know, even the Bulls. So I'm sure that they are prepped and they're just sitting around antsy and waiting. And hopefully, as you said, you know, we need those players, those secondary players, to step up, give us our best, and then we need the stars to give us our best. And that's what we're hoping for. Can it happen all series long? It's going to be tough, really, really tough.
Yeah, it's a tough assignment any way you break it down. But again, you know, that this Bulls,
remain hopeful.
This Bulls team surprised everyone when they were healthy at the beginning of the season. I mean, it was must-see TV. The ratings were up 83%. Everyone was sitting down in front of the TV. It was appointment television, because not only were they playing over their expectations of the Bulls fans, they're a likable team. You know, Sully said it, DeMar DeRozan, a very humble guy who's turned into Superman. Now, he wouldn't have needed to be Superman with the Lakers, and he wasn't Superman with Toronto, but he certainly probably looked around and when Zach in and out of lineup with the knee, decided that, you know what, if it takes, you know, putting everyone on his back and shoulders and carrying you through that stretch where he was having, what, 35 to 40 point games and 50% plus shooting, and just, you know, being Superman in the fourth quarter, the guy has lived up to everything, and he's still been a great team guy and a great, great team leader. So,
yeah, I mean, we're lucky to have him. We are
absolutely
lucky to have him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
312-332-3776. Taking your Bulls calls when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Yeah, no, I think that they feel it. I think coaches turn up the intensity. You know, I think guys understand how important this is, because this is all it's about. You know, regular season is great and all, and it's cool. You know, regular season is like a 7. The playoffs is like an 11 in terms of intensity. So guys got to understand how important each moment is. And I think Coach and us veterans have done a good job explaining that to guys. And they'll see. They'll see game one in Pfizer, former, or however you say that arena's name. I don't play there, so don't really matter to me what the name is. It's going to be rocking in there, especially them being defending champs. You know, they have high expectations, so we got to come in with us against the world mentality.
How confident are you guys? Talk with the best guys.
That's Tristan Thompson went on an all spinal tap on you, Mark Zander. It's a playoff, turn it up to 11. And he's only.
They need 12. Brian, they need 12 or 13.
So, to not lose in the best of 7, where you lose in 3 games.
Yeah.
So he and Caruso are the only two on the Bulls roster that actually have won a title, right? So he knows what it's all about. You know, DeMar DeRozan and Vooch have both been in the playoffs but haven't gotten in the promised land. They've been in the conference finals. So, or DeRozan has anyway. But he and Caruso, Thompson and Caruso, have been trying to tell everyone basically what, you know, what this is all about and what you expect and the intensity they're going to face as soon as they tip off tonight. But there's no better experience than throwing those rookies in there and having them, you know, baptism by fire tonight. So they can talk about it, and being good team leaders, they have. Caruso said he's been trying to talk to these guys for a couple months now. and just giving them a heads up. Because, look, we've known the Bulls since January were a 90% plus chance to be a postseason team, right? No one really saw the collapse coming, but we knew, you know, we were hoping they'd be top four
seed.
Billy
Donovan did.
Yeah, he saw the defense collapse. But at the time, they were sitting there on top of, I mean, they were the number one seed in the East till last week of February, right? So we knew they were going to be in the postseason. We just didn't know they were going to limp into the postseason and be everyone's punching bag when it came to picking a winner in this Bucks-Bulls series. So, but guys like Thompson, they've known about it. You know, Billy Donovan, your guy, who has basically said, I don't know how this defense is falling apart. Anyone, you talk to the coach. Oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, he here's his problem. You can't put Vooch and Tristan Thompson on the floor together at the same time. Because Casey Johnson, my buddy over at NBC Sports Chicago, who you see on the Bulls broadcast and does great work analyzing it, you know, they are, I think, a minus 32 together in 26 minutes of court time this year. I mean, as much as you want size out there, you can't have those two guys out there together because they just can't play. They're a minus 32.1 net rating in 26 minutes. So as much as you need the size against Giannis and these guys,
you need the size to perform.
Yeah, there's no way you can put those two out there because the ship starts leaking in a big way.
And how does Patrick Williams play into this?
Well, I'm so excited to see that because, you know, moving forward, you want to know what you have in the big young guy, right?
And so, this is a good test.
Absolutely. And he's been saying the right things. And even Io this week, you know, they seem fearless. There's like it's the old, you know, circle the wagons. Everyone in the outside this locker room believes that we're going to get our butts kicked, but we believe in ourselves. And they're talking about not even being aware of being underdogs and everything else, or certainly not, you know, paying attention to it. So even the young guys in Io, of course, you know, won at Illinois. So, I mean, they know what to say. Who knows in their heart of hearts what they feel? And when they get out there and Fiserv is rocking tonight, really would like to know how many Bulls fans are going to make the trip. 312-332-3776. If you're going to try to go up there and lend some support.
Yeah, you're on your way
support.
Up there now. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean.
And if you have hope, tell us why you have hope.
Yeah. Other than I'm a Bulls fan and, you know, it's great. I mean, we're all Bulls fans, but. I one of the storylines I'm going to love to watch is Patrick Williams and seeing how he can stand up and if he can stand up to these guys in his first postseason experience, because hopefully there are going to be many more seasons to come and this isn't the first. And then we go another 4 or 5 years without AK and the front office staff starts building this thing with some momentum because look, they're probably at least a year ahead of schedule, but you'd like to see those guys put up some numbers and look like they at least belong out there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, and here's something I want to throw out. 312-332-3776. Okay. So the Bulls have quite the challenge, likely not going to make it out of this round, but what would you need to see from the players that are on the team right now that makes you have some hope for the future? And we're probably talking about Io and Patrick Williams, but specifically, what would you need to see to make you the loss or the exit from the first round at the hands of the world champions a little more palatable? 312-332-3776.
Yeah, I you know, you want to see, again, any playoff experience is good experience. Yeah. So you want to see the young guys not be intimidated, not shy from it, not turtle from it. And your stars absolutely have to put up their numbers and then some. I mean, they can't expect DeRozan to go for 35 or 40. It'd be great if he did. But if he does, in fact, do that, well, then Zach and Vooch also have to put up, you know, 28, 26, 27, 30 points to give yourself any kind of shot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And to sustain that, to take four games, that's where it's just really a tough sled.
Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers – we all know what he said to the Bears. I own you. I always bleep and own you. You know, Giannis, that's not his DNA. And by the way, did you see Aaron Rodgers was picked off in a charity football game by a junior college player?
I did. And did you see him throw a little snit?
Yeah, because the guy was taunting him. You know, hey, Rodgers. Yeah, but Giannis could go off on the Bulls. I own you. I've always bleeping owned you, because in the last 13 starts that Giannis has had against the Bulls since 2017, the last time they were in the playoffs, he's averaged 26.8 points, 13.5 rebounds, and 5 assists. That was just this season, but he's 13-0 since 2017. So no matter what they've tried to do, they haven't done it well enough. Because
you're right, he does own us, but he certainly doesn't have that in his DNA.
He's kind of a general giant.
Yeah, he is. 312-332-3776. Talking about the Bulls game one tonight. Festivities get underway at 5:30. If you're on your way up there, let us know what your plans are ahead of the game, because if you're on your way up there already, you've got some time to kill, and there's some great ways to do that up in that city of Milwaukee. Again, we love the city. Don't have to like their teams, and certainly this Bucks is going to be this Bucks team, and this series is going to be a big challenge. We've got Mike on the south side that wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. You're with Xander and Hanley. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Mike.
Yeah. Like I was telling the producer just a few minutes ago, first I'm starting Vujicic. He's got to average 25-15. He has no choice. I don't want to – look, if you got some mouse on you, that then you're don't take your butt to the damn 3-point line. Take him to the post. There are so many times this season where he had the pick and roll idea worked, because it is hard to defend, especially when DeRozan is rolling. He rolls to the basket, pulls up a small guy. Next thing I know, you want to shoot jump shot. No, forget that. 25-15 from Vujicic, and I truly do believe the three young guys, Pat Williams, Io, Kobe White. I like their attitude. You're playing with house money. Who cares? Don't think about when. Just play, because they're playing with house money. If those three can combine, give you, I say maybe 35 plus, you know, as far as like as together. And Kobe White is huge, because he's supposed to be that sixth man, like you guys said earlier, off that bench. He has to hit his jump shot. Amen. He's going to be open. Mm-hmm. You've got to hit it. No excuses at this point in the season. Playoff time. Tristan Thompson's right. It's a different beast. So they're going to leave those three wide open. They're going to get opportunities. But Vujicic is with that. He's got to do 25-15. You can stop Middleton. I think it's easier to stop Middleton. Holiday is difficult. But Middleton, you can slow down. You're not going to stop Giannis. Forget it. You hope to slow him down. He's going to get his 35-plus, 15-plus. He's going to do his thing. But Middleton, I do agree with you guys. They have to stop Middleton.
Mike, I wish you would give the Bulls the pregame talk, because you're spot on. I mean, you got to just lay it out there like you just did, that here's what we need. And if we don't get it, we're in trouble. That's terrific. Great call. Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
Appreciate that. I mean,
312-332-3776. I do like what Mike said. He laid it out. It's not easy to achieve, but the concept and the plan is easy to understand. I think that was a solid plan.
Yeah, and look, Kobe White, I said it earlier, he's going to have open threes. They allow you to take threes. 19% conversion ain't going to get it done. Just not going to get it done. So, you know, let's check in with Chris in Tinley Park. He wants to weigh in on the Bulls. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good.
Hey, just throwing my two cents in here. We seem to struggle a lot with the Bucks this year. They're a good team. You know, that's why they're reigning champs. What do we need to do? It doesn't seem like Billy ever changes. It hasn't changed a lot. Every time we play these guys, just whooping our butts. We get beat the second half. We get beat early in the second quarter sometimes. What do we need to do matchup-wise, stuff-wise? Is that why we have Tristan? What are we going to do to change this game plan? Because when I think about it, it all comes down to coaching and this kind of stuff. And if you can outsmart a guy and play chess in the regular season, is there anything in store you think that can change a little of the game plan?
I look, you know, the one thing you as much as you have to hit your open jumpers, and this Bucks team allows everybody to take 3 points. They allowed the most 3-point shots in the NBA this season. You have to penetrate the paint. I mean, they're great at walling off the paint, but your big guys, and Mike just said it, Vooch can't just sit there and dribble back to 3-point land. He's got to be absolutely aggressive and take whatever opening he has. And DeMar DeRozan and these guys have to find a way to get to the free throw line and then make their free throws. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And we also have a couple of listeners who want to weigh in as well. And we'll take your calls. We're here for another hour, 312-332-3776. You know, make a case or tell us what you're going to be watching tonight, because you know, there's some side stories, and we'll get back to the bigger picture questions as well. I mean, is Vooch playing for his Bulls future right now, or has that been already determined because he's not the guy everyone really thought he was going to be? We'll talk about that right back in a couple of minutes here on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports, now by your side through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Back here on ESPN 1000 Easter Sunday. Hope you're enjoying the day, and hope you'll enjoy the outcome there, Pat Foley, tonight when the Chicago Bulls play their first playoff game since 2017 up in Milwaukee at the Five Serve Forum. And wondering if any Bulls fans are going up to the game and you know, plunking down that $2,600 for the first row seats still available as of yesterday.
Well, how about the $46 for the standing room?
Standing room, which doesn't guarantee you a view of the court. So I don't know what I'd rather be outside at the viewing at the Deer District viewing party. But Jared's out in Iowa and has some thoughts on the Bulls. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hey, Jared.
Hi, guys. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for being on. Gives you something to do while I listen, watch my kids play Play-Doh.
Hey, do you have that Easter grass laying around from the basket? Is that all over the place?
That was yesterday. That was yesterday. They threw it everywhere. I actually have twin 4-year-olds, so they were pretty lively. So
you know what's what's cool is the kids still like Play-Doh, because I loved that as a kid. And you know, now every 4-year-old has a phone, right? So it's great that your kids actually like Play-Doh.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. But to your question of what do I want to see, I was actually listening to the Jeff Van Gundy interview this morning about flight and being relentless. I want to see the 2009 Bulls-Celtics series where you probably knew they were going to lose. But man, that was fun. And they fought. And they went to double, triple overtime. And it gave you just so much hope for that team going forward. Now, they weren't going anywhere, but that was it'd be nice to get a running start in next year with a little bit of excitement.
Do you think, Jared, that this Bulls, that's the DNA of any of these guys necessarily, that have that kind of intensity and tenaciousness?
I think Caruso does. I think Io does. And I think probably DeRozan does. I think Levine wants to, but he doesn't. Vucevic is a no. Kobe White's a no. And those, you know, the Jalen Greens, you know, the Derrick Joneses, they're gonna, because they have to, because they're role players. That's how you get to the NBA. But no, they don't have the Heinrich, the Dang. No. Ben Gordon was just relentless. Boy, he's a killer. Even Andres Nocioni, he just punch you in the face.
Hey, you know what? Jared, I covered those baby Bulls, the try-hard Bulls, from 05 to 10 at the Chicago Sun-Times. And you're right, Noach. I mean, he was tenacious, and he was a great guy off the floor, but that team was better. The sum of its parts were better than the parts themselves, right? But Luol Deng, Ben Gordon, you know, Ben Gordon didn't want to win the sixth man award. He felt like he was a star, and he's a star on that team. But you're right. You need guys who would go out there, and Kirk Heinrich was a coach's kid and, you know, won at Kansas. And so you – you know, you needed that Duke pedigree from Luol and everybody else, knowing what it takes to be elite. And they weren't elite, but they gave most teams headaches. They could be down 20 points. I remember how many game stories I rewrote in the final 5 minutes, because they could be up 20 or down 20, and the whole thing could change in 5 minutes. But that's because of a young team that wasn't sure how to win or hold the lead. But sometimes, you know, they gave Miami everything they could to upset them in a playoff series. So great call. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, thanks, Jared.
That was a great team. And, you know, I know that John Paxson, not a great team, but it was a fun team. And John Paxson went out and got Ben Wallace because he felt like taking away from the Pistons, Mark, would help. You know, the Pistons were the epitome of a team that won because of the entirety of the group, not necessarily the stars of individual stars. And that's the blueprint the Bulls kind of were trying to emulate. And obviously they took $60 million that they had available and signed Ben Wallace, and it didn't work out to anyone's satisfaction. But you understood at least what he was trying to do, and it just didn't translate.
Right, you're right. That was a lot of fun. That team was the Tryhard Bulls. A lot of fun to watch. Had some potential, but it is interesting how it shook out in looking back at it. As you said, the sum of its parts were greater than the whole team, which it didn't really make sense how it turned out. But those were fun years for sure.
But it's interesting.
3-3-2, 3-7-7-6.
Jared says, you know, Vooch isn't that guy, and Kobe's not that guy.
Did he mention Patrick Williams? Did he jump in on Patrick Williams?
No, I don't know if we know if he's that guy. I think we're going to find that out. At least we're going to get an inkling starting with this playoff series, right?
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, this is going to show you where the holes are and what we need to do in the offseason. And, we know AK is not afraid to shake things up. And he brought Vooch in, and that clearly doesn't seem to be the answer at this point. So we'll see what assets we have moving forward. And certainly looking at the young guys like Io and Patrick Williams, hopefully they can step up and show that they want to be part of this moving forward.
Well, continue to take your Bulls calls, 312-332-3776. We're here until 12:30, so lots of time for you to jump on in. But Bear fan Bob, who lives on the other side of the Cheddar Curtain, he is a White Sox fan. Bob, I don't think I've ever asked you, are you a Bulls fan or a Bucks fan?
None of the above, actually. I just don't have time to watch all the sports. But by the way, happy Easter to you boys. And we have a meeting with us today. So, anyway, say hi.
Hello.
I got a White Sox thought for you. So, as I'm watching the White Sox games, the guy who I think might be the hidden gem in the bullpen, Sousa, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm watching this kid, and I don't have a lot, I just don't have a lot of time to study this stuff. He really impresses me. His command on the mound, his pitches, he gets up there and he gets guys out, which is what I think actually they need to do. And I think he's going to be a hidden gem and going to be a real asset to the White Sox in the future. Those were kind of my thoughts. So, guys, happy Easter and have a great day.
Hey, Bob, do you have the angst of the bullpen like Xander does?
What's that? Ace for the bullpen?
The angst. Xander's all concerned about it.
Well, yeah, I have slight angst because of Hendricks getting some people on and collapsing that first game. It's unwarranted, I'm sure.
Mark, that's kind of why I called in, because I was listening earlier, and I heard you were kind of, concerned about Hendricks. Maybe you could get this guy. You know, in 2005, we had, what was it, Shingu, then we had Justin Hermanson, then we had Jenks. I love Justin Hermanson. Well, maybe this new kid could fill in.
You're right about Sousa. Hendricks. You're right about Sousa, Bob. He has impressed. He's come out of nowhere. Wasn't exactly a name we were talking about heading into the season. But he has made most of his chances. We needed that left-hand arm. He has impressed. And it's an embarrassment of riches, as we've been told. Certainly, it has been okay. But, boy, that game one, that was a little rocky. But Hendricks is that guy. He's not going to be able to nail him down every time, but he's had success past couple days. And even though it may be a nail-biter here or there, I think we're going to be okay.
And you know what, Bob? People don't know that Sousa's great 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 granddaddy was John Philip Sousa, and then wrote "Stars and Stripes Forever." Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Really?
I just made that.
That's
I just cool. made that up.
No,
I just
was made that up. No, that's.
I just made that up. Yeah. Maybe I'd ask him. Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Happy Easter.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a great day, guys.
Take
care.
Happy Easter. Okay. Yeah.
That'd be a cool story, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you're making up storylines.
Well, I'd ask him. Maybe he did the me and 23. What's the DNA thing? The test. Have you ever done that?
23 and me. Yeah.
Did you do that?
I did it. Yes, I did it. And then I get these random emails that they're finding all kinds of relatives that I feel like I don't care so much.
Are you related to John Philip Sousa?
I am not.
I didn't do it, but I did it. I adopted a couple pups recently, and this is the first dogs I've done the, well, it's a, now a thing. I didn't, you know, my other dogs, it wasn't a thing. So I was curious, one of the dogs has a ridgeback, and it's actually the mother, and she was a two-year-old mom who had four puppies, so I took one of the puppies, too, adopted from Fortunate Pooches and Lab Rescue, just a terrific organization in the Chicago area, so I've gotten all my pups from there. But anyway, so I was curious to see their lab mixes, but obviously mom's got ridgeback, and you can kind of see it on the puppy, so I did the DNA test for that, and it came back about 12 different breeds, including Catahoula Leopard Dog,
yes,
which is native to Louisiana, which makes sense because mom is from Arkansas originally. But I see, I was much more interested in finding out what the dog's DNA.
Then you were your long lost relatives.
No, I'm a drunk Irishman. I think there's some Scottish in there, but I mean, come on. Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, you're related to
John Philip Sousa. I actually helped him write Stars and Stripes Forever. That's how old I am.
Wow. No. That's impressive.
No.
Another one, a long list of credits you have.
Are we allaying your fears and your nausea over the bullpen?
Well, I mean, look, throwing up, and again, this ESPN 1000, we put the poll up there. It's a ridiculous poll, but knowing hardcore Sox fans, and I saw, as I mentioned, that first performance from Hendricks, it was like the season, you know, there was no off season because we had, those were some issues last year. But this year,
Craig Kimbrell's not here anymore.
Yeah, and Kimbrell, yeah, that's a problem we no longer have. But some positives that I have seen this year from pitching and otherwise that were problems last year. It looks like we're running bases. We're stealing bases. Yasmani Grandal threw somebody out yesterday. Reese McGuire threw somebody out the other day.
Hey, he's been pretty good.
He has. He really, really has. And you know, props, and if Fred's listening, I hope he gives Yasmani some credit too. To this day, it looks like Yasmani did some work on his defensive game over the winter because he's looked much, much better. We've needed that. And Hendricks, aside from the first performance, has been fine. And yes, Graveman has been great. Seuss has been great. I look forward to seeing Joe Kelly.
Ronaldo Lopez is still
Ronaldo, and here's where, and taking a little left turn, Ronaldo Lopez, a bit hit and miss. Bummer still isn't back to where we saw him a couple of years ago, but certainly he did get out of a jam the other day, which, like the Michael Kopech comparison, as we said yesterday, how he started off a little shaky, but he got his head straight. He finished the game. He didn't finish the game, but he did not. He got pulled for a pitch count. He did not get pulled for any kind of trouble he was in. Bummer got himself out of trouble the other day, too, which is what you need to see because trouble will come. It's how these pitchers react to getting out of trouble. So there are some very, very good positives.
All right. But speaking of getting out of trouble, Jay Cantu is going to kill us, our great producer, if we don't go to break.
Oh,
but
we're running
late. When we come back, Joe Maddon did something that nobody had done in baseball since 1881. And he got out of trouble, but you got to listen. I mean, it's unbelievable, and we'll break it all down for you, and we'll continue to take your calls. 312-332-3776. Going to talk some more Bulls with you on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Two 3776. Xander and Hanley here, produced by Jay Cantu today, and we are going to be talking about Joe Maddon and what he did with the Angels. You saw this, right, Jake?
Well, here, Mark. I always say you go to a baseball game. There's a chance you're going to see something you've never seen before.
There's a solid chance, yes.
Unless you were living in 1881, you didn't see this before. Now, Barry Bonds was walked, and go back to 1998. He was walked with the bases loaded. because no one wanted to see the Grand Slam and they were leading at the time, right? So they had the luxury. But the base was loaded. And here's the first time since 1881 that a team on the losing side of the ledger, and the Angels were down 3-2 at the time, bases packed, and Corey Seager up. And Joe Mann, well, let's take a listen, because this is Bally Sports Southwest. It's the Rangers broadcast, and Dave Raymond, the play-by-play guy, and Tom Grieve, they don't even know. I mean, they think they know what they're looking at, but they're really not sure about the whole thing.
Right.
The launch angle on Seager's was 39 degrees. The launch angle on Trout's was 23 degrees.
If I understand what just happened, an intentional walk granted to Seager with the bases loaded. That is Barry Bonds treatment.
You sure that? I wasn't watching.
Yeah. Joe came out, talked to his pitcher, pointed to first. And Seager granted first base, an intentional walk with the bases loaded, brings in a run. It's 4-2. The base is still loaded now for Mitch Garver. That is amazing. I mean, I've seen some
really
stuff before.
To say.
I'm shocked.
One thing with a little bit of a lead and Barry Bonds at bat. You sure that's what happened?
I think that's exactly what happened. Wow. Yeah,
I'm sorry I can't help you, because I looked down at my scorecard and didn't even see it. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have predicted it either, so I wasn't quite ready for
it. Well,
that.
I'll put it to you this way. I just watched it, and I'm not sure I believe it. Seager's an incredible hitter, but
yeah,
that's just
nothing
stunning.
Nothing against Corey at all.
So they're going to pitch to Mitch Garver with the bases loaded. And Joe Maddon, I think, has earned a reputation over the years as being a very intelligent baseball man and a very creative one. But look, I'd never suggest that I know anything near what he knows. But that one, that stuns me.
Yeah, so there you have Dave Raymond and Tom Grieve, been around the game a little bit and still not sure what they're watching, because it's not Barry Bonds and Anaheim doesn't have the lead. They're actually down, so you walk in another run. And Corey Seager, a very good hitter, and his numbers are very good. He was 0-2 at that point with a strikeout in the game.
Right.
Now, Madden's trying to get to the right-handed batters following him, but first of all, Austin Warren, the pitcher, looked rattled. He kept taking his hat off after that. It's basically, now you just tell the umpire, put him on first. And the umpire's probably like, excuse me? But Austin Warren, it took him a few pitches to settle down. They actually scored 3 runs in the inning. So now Texas is up 6-2. Joe, fortunately for him, the Angels come back and win that game 9-6.
But it wasn't because of that decision.
No. And if they lose that game, they're down 6-2. And the win probability for Texas was probably about 85, 90% at that time. But, Texas couldn't hold on to it. So Joe was asked about it, and he looked 72 years old, right? Or this has only happened in 72 years, and Barry Bonds was the recipient of that. Joe said it was not only trying to stay out of a big inning, but he was trying to stir his guys up, quite frankly. He said, just trying to stir the group up. That's something you don't normally do, and I thought just by going out there and doing something like that, the team might respond, simple as that. They responded, but in the moment, I mean, Mike Trout, the look on his face, the camera caught him. He was like,
yeah,
what
they got
the
a
hell?
Response. He got a response, a WTF response.
I mean, he just looked like, what are you doing here? What's the point of this exercise?
And also, Josh Hamilton for the Texas Rangers in 08 was walked by the Tampa Bay Rays
with Joe Maddon.
With Joe Maddon.
But they had the lead then, right? I mean, this. You don't do it when you're down and you're trying to stay out of the big inning and you just gave him a 2-run lead and it ends up being 2 more after that. Maybe it's not an 8-run inning, but it turned into a 4-run inning, right? I mean, or a 3-run inning. So, crazy, but, crazy Joe, I guess. It's not just petting zoos and theme trips, road trips, skinny suit road trips and who's the magician?
Pajamas on the bus and all
yeah.
that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the magician that would show up down in Arizona for spring training and you know, pull an intentional walk out of his hat? Yeah. Wow. But yeah, baseball, yeah,
you,
God
you
bless.
You wonder how LA is talking about this, LA Sports Radio and their fans, because we know Joe is a little quirky. Yes. Certainly he's been there long enough for them to get that, but this is super quirky. And the fact is, we're still talking about it, and he won the game. If they would have lost that game,
oh
wow, that would have been really a tough pill to swallow. But Joe's not the reason that he gave is just so strange to me.
Psychology.
Trying to shake up your guys.
Sure, yes. Are you kidding me? Well, he shook up his pitcher, but his pitcher couldn't find the strike zone after that.
Right.
Austin Warren's
I'm not sure that's the result he was going for.
He kept looking at the inside of his cap, you know, and I don't know if he was maybe not sure that he didn't hear it with the new
the pitch comp. Thing.
Yeah. Did you just?
Or he was in disbelief.
Yeah, he was in definitely disbelief. Hey, and that said, you know, they better have a statue of Joe Maddon up at Wrigley at some point, you know, after he hangs it up or whatever, because the guy did get, you know, the Cubs to their first World Series in 100 years. So, you know, he definitely deserves recognition there. But Friday night, I'm just like, wow, baseball, it's back and crazier than ever. So there you go. 312-332.
You can see anything new on any given day.
Absolutely. It's the beauty of the game. 312-332-3776. Got time to take your calls. It's Xander and Hanley here until 12:30. I'm going to talk some more Bulls with you right after this on ESPN 1000.